Welcome to the Lavo Show podcast. Conversations with outstanding human beings whose love has been inspired and transformed by Osho. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Priya. Priya is almost literally Osho's child. She has been with Osho since birth, took sannyasa at 11 years of age and spent most of her childhood with Osho. Priya now runs a wonderful meditation center in Dharamsala, India. I'm so happy to have Priya on the show and I hope you enjoy it. Priya, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, Swaram. How are you?
I'm very well and excited to be talking to you.
Yes.
So normally the first question of the podcast is about how guests have come across Osho. Your case is quite unique and you have been with Osho since birth. So I'd like to start by asking you the story about that, if you would like to share with us something about that.
Yes, yes. So I am one of the rare fortunate ones who have been with Osho since birth. The day my mother, Neelam, knew she was pregnant with me was the same day she met Osho for the first time. So both my parents were in awe of him. They had never seen anyone more charismatic than Acharya Rajneesh. We used to call him Acharya Ji at that time. My father was blown away with Osho's presence and his talk. He would insist my mother to go with him every day to listen to him. Osho asked my mom to start meditating while I was in her womb. And when I was born in 1969, Osho visited my hometown. I was 4 months old when Osho saw me the first time. He blessed me and gave me the name Priya and told my parents, "She's my child, I'll take care of her." I don't have any memories of that, but I have a vague memory of sitting on Osho's lap and playing with his beard and pulling the hair on his chest. I remember feeling very secure and warm there. As a child, I was very attracted to Osho. I don't know. It was a very strong pull that I wanted to be close to him, physically close to Osho. At that time, a group of people called the Kirtan Mandali used to travel, while Osho used to lead meditation camps in Mount Abu, Mathiran, and hill stations. I was four when this group came and stayed in my house. And that was my first exposure to saffron clothes and mala. Doing kirtan on the road, these people looked so divine, as if they were possessed by the unknown. Their faces were glowing with freedom, devotion, and ecstasy. They looked so radiant with something I fell in love with madly. I developed a very strong bond with this group, which I still maintain to this day. At that time, I was studying in a Christian school because that was the best school available at that time in my city. And in my home was just a beautiful atmosphere. I have very beautiful memories of my home. It was a very loving, aesthetic, and a meditative house where Osho's discourses were always being played. I used to look at Osho's photograph and feel a very deep longing in me, as if this longing was not of this life, but had roots from many lives before. I could never give this longing a name or explain it to any of my friends in school. I kept it to myself. And I would go to Pune during my holidays, and I remember my first evening darshan with Osho. I was six. And he touched my third eye very strongly and for a long time. And nothing was said in words. It's a very strong energy communion that has no expression. So every time my mom would talk to me and say, do you want to go somewhere else for a holiday? Or should we go to Pune? And my answer would be always Pune. I would be counting days to be in Osho's presence. So I took sannyas not when I was 11, I took sannyas when I was 7. And it happened in a very natural and spontaneous way. I was sitting in the evening darshan with my parents right next to me. Osho was talking to somebody else and suddenly I got up and said, "Bhagwan, I want to take sannyas." And the guards came running to me because I had disturbed everyone. My parents were in a state of shock. I had lost all my manners. Osho called me and said, "So now my little Priya wants to take sannyas?" I screamed loudly, "Yes." Because I was not on the list of the people taking sannyas, Lakshmi had to quickly go inside and get a mala for me, which was so long that I had to fold it twice. Osho said to me, "I like your name Priya, so from now on you'll be called Ma Deva Priya, which means the beloved of the divine."
That is really touching and it's so beautiful, and it's quite mysterious that Osho said that you are his child and I will take care of you, essentially. And it's very, very beautiful. And apologies for mixing up the age of your sannyas. I kind of robbed 4 years of your sannyas life. So you mentioned that as a small child, you had a strong, irresistible, like magnetic pull towards Osho and felt this deep longing inside, which you still today you can explain. Yes. And also you lived with your parents in the commune, and I've heard ambivalent stories about being a child in the commune, because it seems that parents were so absorbed by Osho that somehow children were not the main focus. So I'd be curious to hear how was for you to be in the commune with Osho as a child.
So I was in the commune only from the ranch. Till before the ranch, I was not in the commune. I just used to visit and go back home where we lived in Punjab. So I only went to the ranch when I was 12 with my mom. And my father had to leave because he didn't enjoy the ranch. So he wanted to go back. So me and my mom stayed in the commune. And that was the time when we became commune residents and we lived there. So before that, I was only visiting the commune and going back and studying in a school and staying with my parents in Punjab.
I understand. And so 12 years old is still quite early as a life experience, going from India all the way to the other part of the world and being with Osho. And so first of all, how did you manage with the school arrangement and stuff like that? And how was for you to be there at 12 years of age?
I loved the ranch so much. That is the best time of my life, you know. I went from a very small background of my parents' house, and then I go to this big international commune. It was such a huge ranch with, you know, I felt so expanded there. And it was such a learning for me in so many ways, you know. And I remember the first time when we went there, I was put in the school that was called No School. The name of the school was No School. It had no exams, no competition, no stress, no good or bad. No child was superior or inferior, unlike the regular convent school I had been to. You know, the teachers were so friendly, loving, and the whole emphasis in this school was on expression, on sharing, observation. You know, we would get, I was told many times to go out in the nature and to observe things and to write. Look at the nature and write a poem. I remember I wrote such a beautiful poem on the falling leaf, which was appreciated so much. And so the whole emphasis of the school was Osho's vision, you know. And after that schooling, I was put in the different departments at the ranch where we had to work with different people. And going from a small family to such a big commune, it really broadened my horizon to see things, you know. And I had to go beyond my comfort zone. And I always had this feeling of excitement at the ranch. I felt so lucky to be a part of this beautiful experiment with Osho. And just the fact that I could be there in Osho's presence, even if I didn't see him every day as a personal, you know, But still, just that Osho was there and I was a part of this whole group was such an amazing feeling for me.
And that is so refreshing to hear, because obviously after Wild Wild Country, there have been so many discussions around the time in Oregon, and most of the conversations are around, ugly aspects, whereas, it's so beautiful to hear this other side of the story, especially from a child, innocent child. And then the bit of the non-school, I think that's a dream of every child to be in a school that is called no school, and you are invited to express and being out, and the teachers are loving and caring. And obviously, I would assume that the teacher were Osho Sannyasins, right?
Yes, absolutely. It was a part of the commune. So the teachers were all sannyasins and the kids were all, from there. And it was, we are with so many different cultures, so many different, international commune with so many different kids from all over the world. So it was such a big learning for me, and with such a loving atmosphere, which you don't get in a regular convent school for sure. You have nuns and your whole thing is on fear. And this is good, this is bad. But whereas in this no school, there was nothing good or bad. Whole emphasis, every child is a unique child, That was Osho's emphasis. And every child was so much respected. As a child, I never felt so much respect as I felt at the ranch.
I heard Osho saying that children are the most bullied individuals in the world. And we don't even realize, but, they actually, because they're treated as if they have no intelligence and they have no feelings and they have to do whatever they're told to do, and they're really bullied. So, I really wish that some sannyasin at some point will pick up this insights of Osho and guidance on education, and perhaps open a school based on his vision and kind of replicate what the experiment that you lived in Oregon. That would be so beautiful. But anyway, moving on to when you were a little bit older, around 16 years of age, which is a notoriously delicate and complicated age. At that time, you spent some intimate moments with Osho in Kulu Manali, India. So we're talking about when the Oregon experiment was over and Osho went back to India just before then going for the world tour. And I think that was a very special time because few people were allowed to be close to Osho. So I'd love to hear what sorts of private conversations you had with him, and if there is anything in particular that you want to share about those intimate moments with Osho.
Yes, there are so many intimate moments with him at that time. So, when I came back from the ranch, I was 16. And we flew back with him from the ranch back to Delhi and then to Manali. And we were just few of us, his caretaker, his family, and few more of us. And I was just 16. So it was I was the youngest one around. And so most of the press and the photographers would often surround me. It was a very special time for me because it was very close to him. I could ask him questions about the confusions I felt at that age. And I always wanted to be close to Osho physically. So I didn't want to leave him at that time. And I was very sad that the ranch was finished. I was so happy at the ranch. And when the ranch got over, I could not take it. And when we came back, it was such a small few of us. After some days of, enjoying that space with him, I started to complain. I started to miss the ranch. I started to miss my friends. I wanted to sleep late. When we had reached Kulu Manali, it was very cold. It was the month of December. So Osho used to speak early mornings, And I, as a teenager, wanted to sleep late. And so I thought nobody would notice me. And I just slept a couple of mornings and I didn't wake up early to be where Osho used to speak. And I got a message after a couple of days that tell Priya not to be so lazy. She should come every morning to the discourse and sit right in front of me. So I had a very hard time escaping from him. I knew that he would notice that I was not there and I couldn't escape. So I had to sit next to him every morning, 8 o'clock, in the cold winter of Kullu Manali. And then after I used to help Shunyo to, you know, wash his clothes and do pressing his, you know, robes. And then one day I was just missing my friends and at the ranch, you know, just missing the whole commune life. And I complained to her and I said, I don't know what is the future, where we are going, what's happening. So the next day Osho called me and I remember sitting next to the river, which is very loud. The river Beas of Kullu Manali, if you have been there, you know, it's a very loud river. And Span Resorts, the hotel where Osho used to stay, was facing the river. And Osho called me and it was Osho on the bench and I was down. And Osho told me, the ranch is over, the past is over. And I want you to be in this country, India. I don't want you to go back to America. That country is not for you. I want you to study and be close to your father. And I looked at him and I said, my father, but Bhagwan, my father has married and my home is not the same anymore. How can I go back to my dad now? And Osho said, no, I want you to go back to your father and start studying, and I want you to pass schooling, and I want you to be in the world now, and I want you to study and have all the degrees of the world. I want you to do bachelor's degree, master's degree. And I looked at him and I said, Osho, but you always criticize the education system. I have always heard you criticizing the PhDs, the philosophers, the scholars. You make fun of all the scholars. You don't like the education system. How can you want me to go back to the same education that you have always criticized? So Osho said to me, Priya, that is my criticism. I want you to find your own. And my sannyas is not an escape from the world. I want you to be in the world, have all the roots in the world, and still have a taste of meditation. I want you to live my vision of the new man. And I am working on you. I want you to be always close to my communes, but I want you to have all the degrees of the world and be as comfortable in the world as you are in my commune. I had to go back to my father and start studying in a regular school. So that was a very difficult time for me because that means separation from Osho, separation from the commune and going back into the world, which I didn't fit in anymore. So that was one of the very difficult phase of my life, which was hard, but I had to do it because Osho was very clear with me.
And that is, to me, first it resonates in my own personal experience. Of course, I wasn't with Osho. Osho didn't tell me anything in person and, you know, it's a different life. But at some point, I spent a whole year just traveling and living in Osho communes. And I was in Nepal and India. And I remember inside feeling like, okay, you know, that I could choose to just live like that and not go back to the real world. But then like an inner voice, something inside me said, no, you have to, even though obviously it's so much easier and beautiful and satisfying to just be in nature and meditate and being with other Osho sannyasins, but something pulled me back to the world. And then I went back to London and for 2 years, I really struggled. You know, it was very, very difficult to readjust and build my own, you know, find a new job and build my own career and regular life. For me personally, it was the right choice. So, and also when you said that Osho advised you that, you know, this is the meaning of the new man I have in mind, and that's somehow the new sannyas that he introduced, that he never encouraged people to just escape the world and go into the cave and meditate. So how was for you to realize this message, this Osho's message, to be in the world, but also being aware of your path as a meditator, as an Osho sannyasin, and combine these two inner and outer world? How did you manage that?
I had a very difficult time. That was like a valley. I was going in a valley. I felt very abandoned and lost in the world. I didn't fit in the, you know, in this group of convent school. I was back again. And I had been at the ranch, which was such an expanded feeling. And now I was back in a small college where I had to study. It was a girls' college. And it was a convent, back in a convent. It was such a contrast from where I was at the ranch and coming back again to the small conventional orthodox school. I had a very difficult time. And I had no friends of the ranch anymore with me. You know, it was a cutoff, abrupt, I would say, from the ranch when we left. I couldn't say goodbye to any of my friends there, and I just left overnight. And this phase was the worst phase of my life, coming back from the ranch and fitting in the Indian society and in the conventional schooling. But I also learned a lot, you know. See, there are so many different situations where you have to be flexible, you have to learn, and it gives you much more confidence, much more roots in the world with all the toughness and everything. So I learned a lot at that time. I learned separation from Osho until he was in the world tour. I had no mobiles at that time. We didn't have emails. We didn't have mobiles. There was no communication for months. I didn't know where Osho was. I didn't know where my mom was. I had no communication for at least 5-6 months while Osho was on the world tour. And suddenly I was left alone, close to my dad. So I had my dad, but you know, there was a gap at that time where I didn't live with my father for a while. So that actually helped me to be close to my dad again after all that separation. And I learned. I had to learn. There was no choice.
And I totally respect that. And I can imagine how difficult must have been from, you know, what you just described, your life in the ranch and then going back to the conservative mentality of India. It must have been a shock, but you learned a lot. And yes. I think even Osho said that if everything is easy, we don't grow. So the only chance we have to grow is through difficulties, through hard times, sometimes even suffering, not in the Christian way of self-inflicting, you know, pain to ourselves. But life can be tough at times, but through the toughness, we come out stronger, if I hear you correctly.
Yes. And when after 4-5 months of me being in this Christian hostel where I was studying and doing my high school, one day I just opened a newspaper, and in that newspaper it said Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh back in India. And I see my mom taking Osho on the wheelchair and coming back to India. There was a paper that came and a photo of Osho on the wheelchair and my mom. And I couldn't believe it. I thought, wow, Osho is back, and maybe now I can go back to Bombay and I can be with Osho. You know, I was so excited. But as there were no phones at that time and I didn't have anything, I thought I could just escape my school overnight and just go and see Bhagwan, you know. And so I escaped in the night from that hostel, which was big walls, and I just took some money that I had and I just overnight escaped that hostel. And I reached Bombay, and with a little money that I had, I reached Bombay. I got the where Osho was staying in Sumila Bungalow. I found that thing in the newspaper. And I reached Bombay and I rang the bell and my mom opened the door and she couldn't believe it that I was there. Nobody knew how I reached and how I found out that Osho was in Sumila Bungalow in Bombay back from the world tour. And when my mom told Osho, Osho called me in. And when I saw Osho after months of separation, I just went to his lap and I cried so much. I just howled and I cried and I said, Bhagwan, I can't be away from you. Just call me back. I cannot live in this hostel anymore. I feel so lost. I feel so abandoned and I want to be close to you. And Osho really loved me. He caressed me. He heard all my complaints, all my tantrums very lovingly. And he talked to me for a long time, made me feel better. And then he said, Priya, you have to go back. I myself don't have a home right now. How can I call you right now? When the time is right, I will call you. When we have a new commune, I will call you. But right now, you have to go back and study. I want you to complete your grades. I want you to complete your high school. And then come to me when the time is right. And I couldn't understand why Osho would want me to go back to this conservative school. Why I couldn't study in Bombay, why I couldn't be with him when the longing was so much to be with him. But Osho said, no, if everything works according to you, Priya, there will be no growth. So I had nothing to say and after a couple of days, I had to go back. And Osho's, you know, now when I look back, that particular phase of my life, which was very hard, but I passed my high school and I did my degrees and, you know, I have a confidence in the world that if I wouldn't have been in that phase, I would not have learned this confidence.
That statement of Osho is so powerful when he said that if everything works according to you, you will never learn. And, yes. You know, and that's something that it's life itself that is teaching you lessons. So it also shows Osho's wisdom that, you know, is pushing you back to the world to learn something out of your own experience.
Yeah. When Osho came back to Pune, which we call the Pune 2 phase, then I came back after my high school and Osho invited me with such loving way and he said, Priya has learned what I wanted her to learn. Now I would want her to come back and live in the commune and study outside. So he was very particular that I study, which was it was not for all. It was just for me. I don't know why he made me such an exception, that he was so particular that I have my degrees and I live in the commune. So after my high school, Osho called me in Pune 2, 89. He called me back and he called me back and I stayed inside the commune as a commune member. And I had to study outside in the Pune College and do my bachelor's degree in psychology. And then I did my master's in psychology. And then I was also working in the commune while I was studying. And amazingly, this was a miracle that I did so well. I had the best grades in philosophy, in psychology, in logic, all the subjects that he told me to do. This was a very clear thing that he wanted me to do all these things and he wanted me to be in a multidimensional college. I wanted to do fine arts, you know. I thought I could do painting and art and that would be my way. But Osho said, no, I don't want you to do fine arts. I don't want you to make your living out of your hobby. Your hobby should be painting and art, but you should not make money out of your hobby. So he was very particular with me and choosing my way all the time when he was alive till he was gone. It was very clear for him what I have to do. So I lived in the ashram after that. And I did all my schooling, my college. And that time was so rich experience for me because I had both the worlds together. I had commune, which was amazing at that time. And I had my college life, which was amazing too. And I could live both the worlds together. And I felt so rich. And exactly what Osho says is a multidimensional life, you know.
And that's so beautiful to hear. And that's somehow what I'm trying to do with my life. I'm trying to live in the world, go to the office, have a normal job, but then never forget about my path with Osho, my regular meditation.
He was very particular to me about my subjects. You know, he chose them. He chose philosophy, psychology, politics, logic for me, which was completely, I was surprised, you know. And amazingly, I did so well. I couldn't believe that this was inside me, that I could write pages on philosophers and I could write where these philosophers missed something and where, you know, the meditation comes in and where, you know, I could just write so much. And I got the best marks. I came first in my university. And I couldn't believe that I could study living in the commune, which was, you know, it was just only me who had to pass all these examinations while the commune was bubbling of parties and, you know, white robe with Osho and so much happening in the commune. And there I had to find time to study, find some quiet places where I could just go and study and do my exams. And it was a miracle how I enjoyed studying so much. I enjoyed partying so much. I enjoyed meditation so much. Everything together, it was such an amazing time. And there I learned the balance. You know, I learned the balance of being in the world and being in the ashram. And I learned the balance very beautifully, which I still have now. So for me, the world is not an escape now. For me, I'm very confident in the world and I feel fitting in the world as much as I fit in the commune. I fit in my family as much as I fit here. I fit with my cousins as much as I fit with my friends. So this kind of flexibility and this kind of simplicity with life without choosing the world or the commune. So this kind of simplicity, easiness has come from Osho's guidance to me to live both the lives together, the contrast, and to be at ease in both.
That is extraordinary in its ordinariness. And it's very beautiful to hear that somehow you are living Osho's message of being in the world, being untouched by the world, being at ease in heavy circumstances, and you have learned your lesson. And Osho gave you such hard time, hard training, but
very
seems
hard
like
and yeah. At a very young age, you know, I was only 16. You told me to go,
but you have graduated with full marks, it seems.
I did.
And for me, it's very inspirational, and that's somehow how I aim to live life. Even though, of course, the commune is not here, and somehow sometimes I feel that I miss a little bit of contact with other Osho sannyasins, and it would be great to have bit more centers or places where you can go and recharge. But that's another story. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Absolutely.
We have a beautiful Osho Nisarga commune here. It's a center, so you're most welcome to come here.
In fact, talking about that, so jumping on more recent days, I think since 2001, you have been involved in creating Osho Nisarga, which is a meditation center in the Himalayas, which I think opened in 2007. And you are one of the, you are the administrator and you effectively run the place. So I've heard many wonderful things about your place, that the location is superb, the food is exquisite, the energy is very strong, and it's clean, it's nice. So, and I'd love, of course, I never had a chance to visit, but I'd love to. So Would you like to describe what happens in Osho Nisarga and who is your place for?
See, Osho Nisarga, we have we bought this place in 2001. And then in 2007, we started to run the center. And here we invite many group leaders from all over the world. And this is a small center which can accommodate 50 people at a time. And it is going beautifully. We have our own farm, organic farm, where we grow our own vegetables, our own fruits. So a big piece of land is just for the farming, where all the vegetables come from. And we are self-sufficient in that way. And we have our own cows where the milk comes from. We have our own tofu where we grow the soya bean and we make our own tofu in the kitchen. So all the food is in-house. And and we run all the groups happen here all the 12 months. And it is going really beautifully. It is a small center, so it's simple to manage it. It is not so stressful for us. We have a good time, happy time managing this place because it's not as big. It is quite a small place. So it goes very nicely here.
I didn't know about the food. I heard the food was very good, but I didn't realize it's your own food and you have some land to produce the food. And obviously that's not just about the quality and the taste, but it's about the energy as well, because food is energy. Yes. So if you grow your food and in a meditative space and then you cook with love, that makes such a big difference. So it's wonderful. And I'll link your website into the notes of the show. So if everyone is interested to visit your place or know more about you, I will put the website so that people can visit. So we are heading towards the end of the show and I've got three final questions for you. The first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
See, sometimes I go for the dynamic meditation if I'm in that phase of doing the meditation every morning. And or I go for a morning walk because I live up in the mountains here where the mornings are so beautiful. And we don't have much of a nightlife here. So we sleep early and we get up early. So my mornings are the best time of my day. And, you know, I get up around 6 o'clock. I enjoy my hot glass of water, which I really enjoy. And then I go for a long walk. And then I come back, I take a shower, and I go for work, which starts at 9 o'clock. I go for the breakfast, which is at 8:30. And at 9 o'clock, I am in my office for work.
Sounds like the perfect place for me because I like to go to sleep early, wake up early, and mornings are it's the best time of my day. But anyway, so the second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
Kundalini is my favorite meditation. I used to enjoy dynamic before, but now as I'm growing older, I think I prefer Kundalini. It's just much lighter and I don't feel I have so much of catharsis as I used to have before. Now I prefer to do the Kundalini meditation. It's just a nice way to end the day. Shaking and dancing and sitting is my favorite one. And I also enjoy to do the silent sittings. And we have a silent retreat here for 21 days in the month of February, which is my favorite group here. Because as you get older or as you are in long time sannyasin, I feel I'm now ready for the silent sittings much more than before.
The last question is, you lived with Osho since birth, essentially.
Yes.
What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today in 2018?
For me, Osho has always been a presence rather than a person. And for me, this presence still exists. I still feel Osho and I still feel him with me all the time. And he's my childhood love affair that has no boundaries, it has no time, it just keeps on growing. And this love with him is still manifesting in so many ways. And when I am working here and running this center, it is my gratefulness to Osho that I still want to be here and I still want to thank him for all my beautiful time with him. And this is just a way to say thank you to Osho by running the center here. And I still feel he's very much here with us.
Wow, that is so beautiful to hear, and really makes me, it invites me even more. I want to come there now even more.
You're most welcome, Swaram. Please come.
Absolutely. I'll make sure I'll do it. Perhaps even now in December, I might have a little, like a week gap. So I'll think about, even though I think it's a little cold at this time of the year, isn't it?
Yes, it is cold, but it's not as cold. It is very nicely cold. And we have the heaters here and everything. So we will make sure you're very comfortable. So please do come.
Okay. I like it that it's nicely cold.
It's not badly cold. It's nice cold.
Yeah. I'm sure it is. Everything is nice around that place. Okay, Priya, so that's the end of the show. Really thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really, really, really enjoyed talking to you and listening to your story with Osho and the beautiful insights you have learned, because they're very relevant even for people living nowadays in 2018, and especially that part in relation to living in the world and balancing your inner and outer life. I think it's crucial, it's critical, and it's a great lesson that you've learned from Osho, and that I'm trying in my own experience to learn every day. So I really thank you for sharing that. And I hope to meet you in person as soon as possible and come and visit you. And I send you lots of love
and
a big hug.
Big hug.
Thank you for listening to the Love of Show podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. Visit loveofshow.com for new episodes, blogs, and much more.